This week, Interior Secretary Sally Jewell will attend a listening session in New York to hear activists and elected officials make the case for the first national monument to the gay rights movement. President Obama has the power to create national monuments, and activists are hoping he will create this one before leaving office. It would be built on a small piece of land in Greenwich Village across the street from the historic Stonewall Inn, a gay dance bar, one of several that had been harassed by police in the 1960s. It was also mafia-owned and skirted liquor laws, and in the early hours of Saturday, June 28, 1969, police broke in to seize some bottles and crack some heads, and the patrons fought back, helping to catalyze a movement. Our next guest works as a bartender at the Stonewall Inn today, and he was at the bar that night in 1969 as a customer. He's Freddie Tree, but his customers know him as Tree. Tree, welcome to Here and Now.
Well, thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Well, so what was it like back then? 1:20 on a Saturday morning. Now, you were a much younger person, a customer. What did you see?
I was 30 years old then.
30 years old. What did you see?
Well, we were in there. My friends Frank and Charlie and I were dancing. And I was supposed to get a job there shortly. My friend Johnny Marino, now known as Johnny Poole, was a bartender there along with Mario, who we call Mae West. And Johnny was going to go to Fire Island for the summer. And he suggested to Fat Tony that I could learn to be a bartender. But unfortunately, it never happened because the police raided it. Now, the police raided bars many times, and it was not because we were gay. They wanted more money from the mafia. If you're making money, they wanted money.
Right.
And I went to jail a few times just for being in a gay bar, and it depended on the judge. Some judges would say, you're wasting our time, go home. Some judges would call us perverts and fine us $20. Mm. But that night wasn't raided by the neighborhood precinct because they raided bars for money. This was police headquarters, the vice squad. They were after the bosses, no liquor license, laundering money. And they came in not as normal cops would. The cops would come in and say, all right, girls, line up. And we lined up. You know, my name in those days was, believe it or not, Fenwick Fingernail. When a cop asked me my name, I said Fenwick Fingernail, and he wrote it down. Because nobody carried ID. We didn't have a draft or anything. So everybody used phony names. But it was just to harass the bar owners for more money. But the big raid was the police headquarters. So they came in nasty, pushing, shoving. They threw drugs on the floor, said, step on that, that's yours. And then Charlie, Frank, and I, we pushed the plywood wall on the side, and the doors were very loose. We broke out of there. We were outside. They let some people out. They kept the drag queens in there, the lesbians in men's clothes. One of the bosses, Fat Tony, Mario Mae West was too fat to jump over the bar, so they caught him, and a few customers.
Well, and the fracas began. I mean, we understand that a lot of the patrons were fighting back. And then suddenly there were people outside who, and Village Voice reporters who were stationed, their office was right across the street, who heard the noise. This is what seemed to make the difference between this and other bar raids where, customers like yourself had been beaten up for being gay. This would seem to make it different, that people just started gathering and fighting back. Were you one of them? I mean, what happened?
Well, contrary to rumors, a high heel does not break a window. It was a rock. Because there's a park right across the street. We broke the windows. We broke the wall behind the windows, a little plywood. Two people actually pulled out a parking meter, concrete and all, and used it as a battering ram to knock the doors in. The police were deathly afraid. They were calling the 6th Precinct for help, and Precinct said, we're busy. They were screwing up their money.
Tell me about the rage that was behind this.
Well, it wasn't for Judy Garland, believe me.
Well, that was
we
what some, that's what some people thought, that the emotions were running high because Judy Garland had died.
Oh, we all felt bad. Liza Minnelli says no. Lorna Love says yes.
But you say what? What was happening?
I just said that we had enough. When you start hitting, punching, and that's when you had to fight back. Because the cops never did that to us. So everybody started fighting. Charlie, Frank, and I were doing a Lindy Hop, and half the people have no idea what that is, when the cops came in. So we broke the plywood. We slid it out the doors. There was about 30 people out there. The next thing you know, tourists, neighbors, people walking their dogs, other gay people had heard about it. It was packed out there.
Yeah.
They were arresting some people, like Stormy and a bunch of people, putting them in a paddy wagon, when Charlie and I noticed that the lock was not locked on the back. So we pulled the lock off, the door opened, everybody escaped. escaped.
Listen.
And the neighbors let the kids hide in their buildings and storefronts and would not let the cops in.
You say let the kids. And we should say, too, that one of the reasons Stonewall was so popular is that there was a huge population of young, gay, homeless kids with no place to go. And this had become everybody's home.
Well, people threw their children out with the clothes they wore when they found out they were gay. And it depended on what city they went to, New York, California, Chicago, always the big city, who they met. They could become a nice person, a drug addict, a drug dealer, a drag queen, a thief. It depends on who they met in New York City. Mm-hmm. People come in my bar today and say, Tree, you served me my first drink when I was 15. Because if you had a dollar to get in and a dollar for a drink, they couldn't care how old you were. Come on in.
Well, and I'm not sure, you know, how everyone would feel about a 15-year-old drinking. But the point was, it's not just that you served a drink. It's that the Stonewall was a gathering place. It was a place for people who had, as you said, had been thrown out. It was illegal to be gay. I mean, how do you feel today about this thought that there might be a monument to this place? Did you ever dream of that?
Of course not. After the raid, we went to other bars. We figured that was it. A year later, we see people lined up to walk up to Central Park. And we said, what the hell are you doing? He says, we're going up to Central Park as a march. We thought they were crazy. So Charlie and I walked on the sidewalk in case it was on television or anything. We didn't have mothers to see. We went to Central Park. Nothing was going on. And we came back downtown. And that was it. We said, that's it for the rest of our lives. And who knew that 47 years later, we would have so many rights, so many states are on our side, the president's on our side. And I'm just amazed of how far we've come. At my age, at 77, I thought we'd never have that.
Yeah. Well, and it was a very rough road. Not just more protests and demonstrations, but the AIDS epidemic, which...
Oh, I lost so many people. Yeah. As a bartender, I buried thousands of people, friends, acquaintances, and customers.
Yeah. And it was an epidemic that went unaddressed because it was largely hitting the gay community initially. So a lot of pain along the way.
Oh, yes.
But here you are now, a bartender at the Stonewall. And do I understand that people come, like tourists come now?
Straight and gay from all over the world. You name a city, a state, or a country. Huh. I had Russians in yesterday, Polish people, England, Scotland.
What do they want to know?
They come in to look around. They buy T-shirts. They have a drink or two. And if I don't tell them, I just serve them and talk to them. But then the people I work with go, did you know that Tree was here that night? Then I have to start over again, sometimes 10, 15 times a day, what happened that night.
Well, and when gay marriage went through in New York State, that's where everybody went.
Oh, the streets were packed. Yeah. I was on CNN, and after the interview, I said to the woman, what time is this going to be shown? She said, Tree, you are live all over the world. And I said, thank God I didn't curse.
Well, so here you are. Are you going to be part of the listening sessions that the Interior Secretary is holding to consider?
I'm going to be there.
Yeah. What do you want to say? Why should this moment be commemorated?
Well, it's history. I mean, because of the raid in 1969, there is gay pride in every country in the world. In Brazil, I was in Brazil when there were 1.5 million people on the beach of Copacabana. In Holland, they have it on the boats going through the canals. They name bars after us all over the world because it's history. I brought a gay flag into Czechoslovakia, and they had no idea what it was. Now it's Czech Republic. There are gay flags all over the place.
Yeah. Freddie Tree, at Stonewall as a customer when the uprising began in 1969. He now is a bartender there. If you go, say hi. Tree, thanks so much for speaking to us.
It's my pleasure.
And again, the Interior Secretary having a listening session this week on whether there should be a plaque. We'll have more at hereandnow.org.